With me today is Keith Mumma, who's the U.S. National Director of International Child Care, an organization based in Kalamazoo, also operates in Canada, but mainly in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Those two countries share the same large island in the Caribbean. They're very different countries. Why is ICC focused on those two countries in particular?
First of all, thank you for inviting me here to talk about our programs. Back in the mid-60s, there was a family from Indiana that traveled to Haiti. At that time, the cruise ships were still going into Port-au-Prince, and they were there on vacation. As a farm family from Indiana, they did the typical tourist activities in Port-au-Prince, but they also got off in the side streets, and they saw at that time the main cause of death for young children was tuberculosis, and it really affected their trip and what they saw there. They went back to their farm in Indiana and thought and prayed about it quite a bit and decided that what they would do, despite the urging of their friends not to, but to pick up their family of three young children and move to a slum area of Port-au-Prince and start a small clinic for these kids that were dying from tuberculosis. Their friends said, you know, you're nuts, you're wasting your money, you know, you're not going to do any good there. But with the help of organizations and the church, they were able to start improving the health of these young children. One of the boys in the family said, you know, Keith, at one time we had babies all over the house. We had babies in the bathtub. They were just So at one point, because of the success of their little clinic and their program, they had to move to a location, the former Mexican ambassador's home, where the first Grace Children's Hospital was. And it was a hospital to treat children with respiratory problems, TB and other problems, and other childhood diseases too. That was in the mid-60s, and from that point, the program just grew over the years. In the late 80s, we saw that there was a lot of need on the other side of the island. Haiti occupies the western third, Dominican Republic on the eastern two-thirds. We saw in the Dominican Republic that there was a need for health care there. Particularly, there were a lot of Haitians going over to work in the sugarcane plantations. So in the late 80s, we started a program there to work on human rights and look at the Haitians there. And that program has expanded to work with children with special needs now, both physical and mental.
I know you were in Haiti very recently. That country suffered a devastating earthquake 3 years ago in 2010 that's still affecting things there. What is the current situation in Haiti?
It's hard for them because of the resources they have to get the job done, but things have improved, especially in the last couple years. There are new roads going in, the street lighting. The people that were lost their homes in the earthquake and were living in tents have been relocated. The tent cities are slowly disappearing. Things are getting back to normal. There's still a long, long way for them to go, but it has improved over the last couple years since the earthquake. At Grace Children's Hospital, we're at the point now to where we've demolished our structure, which was destroyed in the earthquake. We've got a vacant lot where the old hospital was. We're working out of what we call transitional buildings now, some cargo containers, some buildings that were put up with the help of the Canadian Hockey League. And we never stopped seeing our patients. We see 300 to 400 patients a day at the hospital, along with the inpatient wards. That continued right after the earthquake and has continued to this day. But we're in the process of rebuilding the original hospital. It'll be a little bigger. It'll have a few services that are needed in the area now that weren't needed initially when it was built in the mid-60s.
There has been some criticism in the wake of the earthquake in terms of the international response. Most of that was directed towards governmental responses, but there was some criticism of the way NGOs were involved in it also. Has that been sorted out, do you think?
Right after the earthquake, of course, our NGO has been there since the mid-60s, so we saw a lot of new NGOs popping up right after the earthquake. that has changed a little bit. Some of them have started leaving now. The ones that are there for the long term are still there. I just came back from a trip. I returned last Thursday with a group that was, they're working on a project. It's called Relief Nation, where they're looking into the work of NGOs, particularly the ones that have started since the earthquake and where they are at this point, you know, if they're accomplishing what they were supposed to do and what their missions were. It's a great organization. I think it's going to aid donors in the way they donate their money. They can see who is being efficient with the donor dollars and accomplishing what their missions are.
ICC is a faith-based, a Christian organization. Did that make a difference, do you think, in terms of the response of your organization?
Yes, I believe that faith-based organizations, I think, are ones that the donors are more loyal and in it for the long term, as opposed to some other organizations. I've got to say, since the earthquake, too, the day after our earthquake, our staff, which is just amazing, they went through all kinds of hardship of their own, losing family members, losing their homes. But they were at work the next day to help out their fellow Haitians that needed hospital treatment or just the everyday treatment that we give to people that need to continue their medication. If they're on a TB regimen, they need to continue that. And our staff, we have a staff of about 400 throughout Haiti. Our Grace Children's Hospital is in Port-au-Prince, but we cover most of the country. They were there working without, you know, thought of their own hardships to help out their fellow Haitians.
The title of your organization obviously implies its mission, which is to serve young people, children in particular. What are the needs of young people in Haiti right now?
Back when we started, the main cause of death for young people in Haiti was, of course, tuberculosis and respiratory diseases. That's changed. Now it's something as simple as just bad water. Dehydration, dysentery are the main causes of death in Haiti. We're working with organizations to bring clean water to Haiti. We're still continuing. We're the leader in TB work in Haiti, along with other childhood diseases also. But we do point our work at children, but we do work with the entire family to help the child. If the family is sick, we don't want to send the child home to a sick family, so we treat adults that have TB. We help mothers that may want to start small businesses to raise the standard of living for their family through microloans. We have literacy programs. We train midwives. 80% of the women still give birth at home, so we train midwives to help with those women give with their births. Everything we do is, like you said, it is to make the life of the child a little better.
What about HIV/AIDS?
HIV and AIDS goes hand in hand now with tuberculosis. So yes, we've had to expand our work along with the TB to work in HIV and AIDS. We do HIV counseling, AIDS counseling. We work with antiretroviral drugs for both children and adults. And Haiti's one of the few countries in the world right now where the rate of AIDS is actually going down. So we feel that the work is being well received there.
Do you think that the typical person in this country is aware of the situation in Haiti and the needs there, or not so much?
I think there's a lot of compassion fatigue for Haiti. I mean, they have been in the news, especially with the earthquake. And I don't, it's hard to really understand what Haiti's like unless you go there. And I would invite anyone to give us a call and sign up for a trip. We'd love to take groups there to see what is going on. The people are very hardworking. They've kind of got the short end of the stick as far as life goes. But it is improving. They do love their country. They want to stay there. They want to make their country a better place for their children. As far as the average U.S. person, no, I don't think they understand what's going on in Haiti.
Haiti is another way it's well known, unfortunately, is for ecological environmental damage that's been caused by, for a number of reasons. You mentioned that in years past, cruise ships used to stop in Haiti. They no longer do. Do you think that Haiti can turn it around?
There's a lot of work going on to reforest Haiti, a lot of work on cleaning it up. There are cruise ships that still do land on the northern shore of Haiti in a little cove called Labadie up by Cap Haitien. They don't land in Port-au-Prince anymore, but for years they would tell the members of the or the passengers of the cruise that they were on the island of Hispaniola, which is not incorrect, but they were kind of sidestepping the fact that they were in the country of Haiti. Now they do say that you're in Haiti. As far as ecological, I think they are working very hard to clean the country up. Charcoal is still the major fuel for cooking, which is a concern, you know, for chopping trees down and burning the wood. They are trying to implement like solar cooking and other ways of getting around burning the charcoal. But until they do that, it's going to be hard to reforest. But there are efforts to reforest the island.
In September, on the 21st to be exact, in Grand Rapids, ICC is going to hold its second annual event called Labu Pu Timoun. What is that?
That's Crail for Mud for Kids. It's part of the run that's going to be up there that day. It's kind of an obstacle course that it's going to be a lot of fun for whoever wants to run in it. You're running through mud and water and obstacles. We're using that as a fundraiser to help fund the programs both in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. This is the second year we've done it. Our runners last year had a blast, and we're hoping to have a lot more sign up this year.
Is this an event where you pledge support for someone who's participating, that sort of thing?
Right. The runners would go out and generate their own funding. We use a fundraising site called Razoo.com that they would sign up for and get their family and friends to help just support their run. And that money goes, like I said, to help the programs of ICC.
Do you have a fundraising goal in mind for that?
It being a new run, we're looking at a few thousand dollars. We're hoping to grow up. We have another fundraiser coming up in Texas at the end of August called the Race for Grace, which is the cycling event. It's part of the Hotter Than Hell, which is the one-day largest cycling event in the world. That we have a goal of $65,000 for, and that has been going on about 7 years now. We're hoping to grow the mud run to the same size eventually.
What do you see as ICC's future in both Haiti and the Dominican Republic?
Well, ICC's philosophy is empowerment and sustainability. So we work with local communities to set up their own programs, get their own community health committees going. So hopefully we will work ourselves out of a job as we go along to the different communities helping set up these health programs. As far as Grace Children's Hospital, we're looking to have that as the premier children's hospital in Haiti again, like it was at one time before the earthquake. I'd like to say that for anyone that wants more information on Haiti or the Dominican Republic or international child care, please stop by our office in downtown Kalamazoo. We're right across from the county courthouse on West Michigan. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to take you down to Haiti and show you our friends and meet our friends down there and see what Haiti and the Dominican Republic are all about and the worthy programs that desperately need the help.
We've been speaking with Keith Mumo, who's the U.S. National Director of International Child Care based here in Kalamazoo. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This has been great.